Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our meditation for this morning is recorded in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers, beginning with the 18th verse. And Moses said, "The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now." Then the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. After the Israelites made the golden calf to worship, the Lord was going to strike them down for their rebellion. However, Moses interceded on their behalf. The Lord's righteous wrath cooled, and he ultimately relented. The Lord then invited only Moses back up to Mount Sinai. There he gave him a glimpse of his glory and a new set of the Ten Commandments. In addition, he revealed to Moses 13 of his attributes, which further disclose his merciful nature. For as the Lord passed before Moses, he said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving the iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Since that time, Hebrews have invoked these so-called 13 attributes of mercy whenever they have rebelled against the Lord. They learned the hard way that rebellion against him was a grave act of unfaithfulness. Consequently, they recognized that repentance was never something to be trifled with. Eventually, the Jews made the 13 attributes of mercy the cornerstone of their Selikot liturgy. This is a communal prayer for repentance that is typically prayed on the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that is, the Jewish New Year and the Day of Repentance, which incidentally just passed by only a few weeks ago. They even pray daily for forgiveness for the Lord in their bedtime prayers. With this in mind, let us then meditate on our need for a great intercessor. Our text for today is Moses' great prayer for forgiveness in the wilderness. For the Lord told Moses to send spies into Canaan and report back their findings. When the spies returned, they told the people that the land was indeed truly a land flowing with milk and honey. But contrary to the Lord's promise to give the land to the people, all of these spies, but Joshua and Caleb, told the people that they were never going to be able to conquer these ferocious and godless Canaanites. As a result, the people despaired, suggesting that it would have been better to die in the wilderness. They even suggested that new leaders should be appointed to lead them back to their masters in Egypt. When Joshua and Caleb tried to intervene, the people threatened to stone them. It was only then that the glory of the Lord suddenly appeared before them, ready to strike them down and to make a new nation from Moses. Scriptures like this should rightly frighten us from rebellious and unrepentant sin. For if the Israelites deserve this for being afraid to conquer the Canaanites, we deserve far more for our incessant grumbling against the Lord's far lesser demands on us. For who amongst us hasn't threatened to tar and feather our God-appointed leaders whenever they had led us through the difficult path in this life in a way that we didn't like? Is there any one of us who can really honestly say that they find God's plan for the Christian life not to be outdated, to be restrictive, if not demeaning? Who among us wouldn't trade the quail and the manna of daily repentance and holy absolution for the flesh pots of self-creation and revolution? Clearly, the Orthodox Jews, as we learned before, still had enough sense to know not to trifle with unrepentant and rebellious sin. And yet, do we confessional Lutherans have enough sense to make use of our regularly scheduled customary days of repentance and prayer? And what about before we go to sleep at night? Have we ever went to bed in a state of unrepentant sin? St. Paul doesn't say, do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil for nothing. The Lord's offer to destroy the Israelites and make a new nation from Moses must have been tempting, to say the least. It wasn't like the Lord was unjustified in making this offer. After all, these stiff-necked people had rebelled against him many times before. And yet, Moses couldn't bear to see his faithless brothers and sisters die in the wilderness. So he decided to intervene on their behalf. First, he pointed out the nations would claim that the Lord was unable to keep his promises if he struck them down right now. Then he appealed to the Lord's 13 attributes of mercy. As a result of Moses' heroic selflessness, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. As great an intercessor as Moses was, though, he couldn't hold a candle to the greater Moses foretold in Deuteronomy 18:18, for Moses could only make intercession for Israel. But Jesus Christ, he made intercession for the nations. The prophet could only appeal to God's mercy, but the greater prophet, he made that mercy possible. Moses was only a human intercessor who had best suffered alongside his people. But the man Christ Jesus was the one God and the one mediator who gave himself as a ransom for all. It was only because of his heroic selflessness that we each can know the Lord as the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and fourth generation. For it was his holy life that covered up our disobedience, and it was his holy death that atoned for our rebelliousness. Still today, Christ doesn't just intercede before his Father on our behalf. He even gifts us the repentance and faith we need every day to turn away from rebelliousness and impenitence. That being said, the Lord's forgiveness didn't come without consequences. And yet, ironically, such consequences are often of our own making. For as the old proverb states, be careful what you wish for you just might get it. Indeed, the Lord granted Israel's repeated demands upon him. He let all those, 20 and older, return towards the Red Sea and ultimately die in the wilderness as requested. Still, he allowed all those younger to enter into the promised land once the 40 years of wandering was complete. No doubt many initially found this to be a loveless punishment from a vengeful God. But the writer of the Hebrews gives us some much needed perspective. He writes, "My sons, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. For God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Perhaps this little story might give us a little insight into this passage. A shepherd once had a wayward little sheep that was constantly running headlong into danger. The shepherd sometimes found that sheep wandering unawares near the cliff's edge. At other times, he found that sheep carelessly drinking near the wolf pack. Now, the shepherd loved that little sheep, but eventually he concluded that he would have to take drastic measures in order to save it. In fact, he ultimately decided to break the lamb's leg. That lamb, no doubt, was dumbfounded by the shepherd's action. How could a loving shepherd break its leg? As much as it broke the heart of the shepherd to do so, he knew that leg would ultimately heal. But in the meantime, that lamb was unable to wander. Eventually, it finally was integrated into the flock. It learned not to wander, and it lived to a ripe old age. All of this was because the shepherd curbed its rebellious behavior. In the same way, none of us really likes it when the Lord chastises us. To be honest, we often think God might have it out for us. And yet, often what looks like a punishment is often a blessing in disguise, if only we have the eyes to see it. Israel was truly blessed with a great intercessor. But how much more blessed are we to be blessed with Jesus Christ, the greater intercessor? For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Amen.